Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, everyone. It is the Red Men Podcast on a Tuesday morning before Liverpool play Arsenal, but after Crystal Palace got a big old draw at Selhurst Park. Now, normally we wouldn't talk too much about Crystal Palace and their results, but of course it did just so happen to be against Manchester City. Oof. Oof. Yes, blowing the title race wide open.
Wide open.
Wide open. I'm Paul Machen, Steve Hall, Chris Pajak join me in the studio. Steve, unfortunately not getting the green top memo this morning, but does look resplendent in his Mo Salah Best in the World t-shirt, yeah, just for podcast listeners.
Yeah, I wish it wore green. No, I don't like being different. I'm not cool enough to be different. I just want to slide and fit in nicely. But yeah,
yeah. Right, we're going to do a kick-off question in a bit. We're going to be talking about last night's match between Palace and City. We're going to have a chat about the Salah contract situation. We're going to be looking ahead to Arsenal. And then we're going to be lifting the lid on what went down on Steve Stag doing
no,
the
not.
Weekend.
Yeah, we are.
No, of course we were. It wasn't on the agenda, but I knew we were talking about it.
Not any other business.
Exactly.
Liverpool work foot of your life. It was like almost all of those things all in one.
Just don't name names and we'll be fine.
Okay, so stay tuned for all of that good stuff.
By the way, I can't. You will have to fill in a lot of blanks for me.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so yeah. We're okay doing that. It's why I've not told you anything.
Amazing.
Since you started. Saving it for this.
Fantastic. Also, we're going to trial bring.
Have you got
back
those photos lined up, Si?
The podcast. Not allowed to put them on YouTube. Not because you'll get in trouble, because the channel will get shut down. We're also going to do a podcast extra show over on Plus as well. We've got some great kickoff questions in via Twitter and the Club Legends as well. So we'll do an extra bonus show over on Redman Plus this afternoon as well for you guys if you want to watch or listen to that. Right. Abe, who is one of our Club Legends subscribers to Redman Plus, sent in this week's official kickoff question. He said, if you had to pick one, would you rather be able to go back in time and experience one Liverpool game again in person, exactly how it happened, or look into the future and know what game will be our next crazy headline-writing, history-making game, so you can walk in knowing it's going to happen when the time comes? So, and I imagine for this as well, it could just be a game that you never went to. So, like, you know, you can just go and time travel, walk in, get a ticket, get in there. Know what's going to happen, Chris?
I'm going back in time rather than forwards in time for a couple of reasons. A, I didn't go to Istanbul and I really want to experience that. That should be enough of a reason, I think, for everybody. But actually, you get to experience something new for the first time and with people, I think, would be much better than doing it on your own, if you know what I mean. Like, going through that experience together is absolutely cool. And so I don't want to do that. And also, like, imagine if I found out it was 50 years from now. I'd be gutted for 50 years.
Yes.
Knowing that it happens
after you're dead.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? It's just terrible, isn't
it?
It's like, that's
it. You save yourself a lot of money, though.
Mediocrity from now until forever. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to happen, but I don't like the thought of it being possible.
You would, the average person, the average Liverpool fan, would save themselves a lot of dough and just find something else to occupy themselves. We would have to say it's
are we going to win the league this year? I wonder if. And you're like, you just know we've come fourth.
It's like when we've done watch-alongs on streams and the scores come and you get a goal alert come in, you go, oh, what a good goal. What a wonderful... And, yeah, And that's the problem with the going. Yeah, that's the problem with the going forward one in general, isn't it? Is that it'd be nice to know, and we always talk about this. Like, I'd like to know. I'd like to be privy to what Liverpool's transfers are going to be at the start of the summer, so I can just chill about it. But to know when your next big moment's coming,
I think I would go that one and gamble a lot of money on it.
All right, so. Yeah. Soften the blow.
Just in whatever. Well, hopefully it's a good thing as well. But like, it's a bit Back to the Future when he gets the almanac and goes with it and becomes a billionaire. I mean, I'd probably do that.
You'd be the Biff Tannen.
I would be big old Biff.
Yeah. You could do that with the pastel thing, couldn't you? Although, would the butterfly affect it? And could you potentially undo the fabric of reality by going back and betting on Istanbul?
I don't understand time travel enough to be able to say conclusively one way or another. Yeah, I know there are rules. I know that I don't know all the rules, and therefore don't trust anything.
I'm largely back to the future / Endgame in this. I mean, maybe you're creating a branch timeline. Who knows?
Yeah, what about multiverse in it?
Well, that's also what would happen if you went back and changed time. You'd create a new...
Is that real? Have I made that? Did I write? Was it close?
It's a theory.
Was it close?
I mean, no one knows if it's real or not.
Okay, yeah. So probably that. But I would. There are games that I never went to that I would like to go back and visit for sure. But yeah,
is there any other obvious answer beside Istanbul?
I'd love to go and experience Barcelona again, but what I would do this time is I'd go and be in the cop. Because I was in the main stand.
Yeah.
So I got to see the back of the players as they saluted the cop. And if there's one thing missing from that experience, it's seeing their faces as they're saluting the cop.
It's an interesting point that I'd love to go and do Istanbul. And that is probably the correct answer, given that we didn't go that game. But to go and relive Barcelona, just in general, go and step back into my own shoes and re-watch that and experience that all again. It makes you wonder, is it a bit like when you watch your favourite comedy movie again, though, or your favourite drama? And it's great, but could you ever...
No, it needs to
you can still get enjoyment out of it, because think about going the cop and watching a first half where you score 4 goals and then watching Match of the Day and be like, oh, we were really good. Yeah. I didn't know any of that happened. Yeah. I celebrated like I did, but I didn't.
Yeah. I think I'd want to go to something I hadn't been to for that reason. But then again, I didn't go to the Dortmund game because I had a broken leg or something at the time and I couldn't go. So maybe that one, I think. But yeah, it's Istanbul, obviously, where everyone would try and relive. Or even, I didn't go to Madrid, so I could even go to Madrid. But I'm going for, yeah, listen, I'm a gambling man. I'll go forward and just have a sure thing because, as we're going to find out later, we're not the best at predicting the future, so we need all the help we can get.
I would consider...
Saying that, if you go back to Istanbul, you could have a tasty old bet at half-time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I
would consider...
You're not getting better odds than that anywhere in any time.
Liverpool are going to win this on pens, yeah.
I would consider, actually, Madrid, but just to do it better. You know, like, you've got your chance again.
Like, fuck your dad off, is that what you're trying
to
say?
No, God, no. I'd be,
that was rude.
I would be... I'd rob Ben Kelly's ticket so that I was a bit closer to the pitch, and I would absolutely be bunking in the full post-match party and not flying back at whatever piss o'clock in the morning time that we did last time. So yeah, interesting. Let us know yours. What would you go back and watch live, or would you want to know? And I suppose this season's a good example of this, is that we've done like 2 or 3 weeks of like, oh my God, it's just this is just really hard and really stressful. It'd be nice to have some favours done for us and whatever, and get a clearer idea of how Liverpool season's going to go. And now I feel a million dollars because City actually proved they don't have to win every game of football, which is great. So yeah, maybe this is one I could live with knowing, maybe. But the thing is, you could win it,
and there's nothing crazy.
Yeah,
that's the other thing.
Yeah, but it could be that the FA Cup final's the craziest one, and then you still got a league title decider and a Champions League final to follow, but it's just your next one, so they could be two more crazy.
Then you get a taste for it and you've got to go back. Probably back to the start.
Right, sad. Yeah, we're going to be doing a bit more on the Palace City and all the fallout from that and how wonderfully delicious it all was in a moment, but we have got a sponsor this week. It is Who Knows Wins. It's been an ongoing competition amongst Team Redmen for the two previous weeks. It's a fantastic game. You download the app. The link is in the description underneath, where you get to pick who you think will win or draw in 10 fixtures on the weekend. The results are in, and Stihor is top of the pile.
How many has he got there?
He's got yellow blob on white background. Six.
That's his second six. Like, I've won between us twice, but I've actually knocked seven was the money this week. So I missed out just about again. So it's a bit gutting, yeah, but it means something. You and Charlie were useless.
Means me and Charlie were, yeah. And the funny thing is that we were, I checked what I thought were my results. And I was like, I did pretty well, mid-table again. I was looking at last week's. me.
No one got 10 in the pick 10, though.
Team Machin on 3. We'll have to wear the hat of shame when it finally turns up alongside Si. It's going to be a long list of...
I bounced back, though, this week, didn't he?
Yeah,
he did,
bounce back ability from Si Fletcher.
Elite mentality there from Si.
He did, he's done well. Yeah, the hat hasn't arrived yet. Reece, get the hat in. He's all got to wear it. By the time it does turn up, I'll lose and it'll be the...
That could just happen perfectly.
No one actually, in terms of actual, it was the pick 10 league, no one got 10, so three people got 9 and won like £2,175 each. And then, yeah, 8's got a tenner, and yeah, 6 didn't get nothing, so I didn't win any though, but 7's did. But yeah, like I say, you didn't even, no one, last week, quite a few got all 10, this week, no one did. It was a hard little week there. You know, done everyone in, loads of people. It was Luton QPR, ironically.
Yeah.
And QPR won away at Luton, and I think we all had Luton. I think the percentages showed a lot of people did as well.
Coventry was my big win of the weekend.
You picked Everton?
Yeah, well, but they were at home.
Yeah, but shit.
I know. but like, I genuinely thought, like, because up until this weekend, I was like, Everton will be sad here. They'll just win the home games. And now it's like, oh, dear.
And then Chris said Burnley had turned the corner.
Yeah.
They turned the corner right into even Tony.
You know what? Yeah, it's bounced off. They bounced off here.
I was chatting to RSD last night about Everton and stuff, because we can afford to wallow in this a little bit, I think. Brentford have got 6 points in the last two games. Burnley have got 9 points since the start of February. Leeds have had 10 points since the start of 2022. Norwich have had 7 points since January the 15th. Watford have had 7 points in the past month. Everton have got 9 points since September.
Yeah.
I can see why you picked them.
No.
I can see why you thought they were going to get a result there, Paul.
Everton. I went draw thinking Everton will do well.
Everton have literally got, I was listening to it with the Athletic podcast before, they've got 9 points from the equivalent of a half a season.
Yeah. Didn't 19 of their 22 points were Benitez's?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah,
because Frank's only one.
Anyway. Right, yeah.
So I can see why you chose them, and I can see why you chose Burnley with those stats. You're fucking brilliant.
Have we got the games for this
you know what? I'm going to show everyone how to do as well on the app how you actually go about picking a team. So you bring it up there. So we had the first game, a big one. It's Bristol City against West Brom. And
these are size picks, aren't they? So go on.
I'm going to actually make them for them, but I'll show you how to do it. That's a tough game. I think Bristol City at home would win, so you just click the W.
This is excellent podcast content, though, by the way, Steve. So can you be exactly descriptive of what you're doing. There's a thing on the screen, and Steve's clicking the button, and it says W under.
That's literally it. So you get the names of the two teams, W under each winner, or a D in the middle is a draw. So I've just clicked on the W for Bristol City. And then it's Celtic Ross County. I'm pretty sure Si is going to pick Celtic for them.
Paul, listen carefully, mate.
I'll watch this back after.
Yeah, Huddersfield versus Bournemouth. I'm going to go for Huddersfield. Middlesbrough versus Chelsea. You've got to pick Chelsea in the cup there, haven't you? Dundee versus Rangers. You've got to go Rangers.
I don't know. Middlesbrough have just knocked out two premises.
They have, but they have. Crystal Palace versus Everton. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to pick not Everton.
Solid.
I mean, that's my advice for the whole game. 89% of the users are doing the same as well. Leicester Brentford's is
in. You made your picks already then, Paul.
Pause that 4%. He picked Everton. That's him. Him and Charlie.
They could. Sorry, the away.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's fine.
I think Leicester will be Brentford. No, I think Leicester Brentford will be a draw, actually. Southampton City. I think it's going to be a draw with extra City winning in extra time. Southampton City's bogey team.
Yeah.
And Crystal Palace. Spurs, West Ham. Ooh.
Spurs.
Yeah.
Draw. And then Forest does, I'd go for us. That's how you do it. And obviously, add your funds clear, then jobs are good. Now, they're not my picks, they're size, so I could change that. But yeah, that's how you work.
For anyone interested as well, yeah, the link's in the description. And as to Steve's point, you could do an ACHA on these kind of things, but obviously you need it all to come in this regard. You actually don't need to get all 10 to win, as mentioned there. You know, 7 wins or 7 correct picks would have got you some money this week. So yeah, get involved. It is good fun, and you can always send your bragging rights over to us as well.
It's the Pick 10 League on Saturday, starting on Saturday. That's the one that we're all competing in. Who do you think is going to be the first out of us lot to win money? I mean, the odds are at the minute it should be me.
Yeah.
But...
Then yeah, you. Because this is where I'm going wrong. I'm going on like gut and feeling and instinct and stuff, which makes a great story when it eventually happens by pure fluke.
I'm going to go Charlie.
Yeah.
It'd be amazing if Charlie won.
Yeah. She just does not does not care about the footy at all.
That's probably a better way to live.
But it, yeah, but the good thing about it is, by the way, it's got, like, as mentioned, it's got the percentages of how many users are going. It's got the form guide under each team as well. So even if you're not totally au fait with what's happening in the Championship or like FA Cup form or whatever, it gives you a good sort of basis to put a marker down, right down. Yes. Trick Josh into super chatting while we've been doing all that. I said, great that Man City have dropped points, but I'm just focusing on one game at a time. Klopp's reach of thought process exceeds the dressing room.
The players and the manager should do that. We're allowed as supporters to get excited. It doesn't affect anything if we are. I hate that. I'm all in.
So
every game.
Yeah.
You've got to be.
The game last night then, did you watch it?
I watched the second half.
I watched the second half.
I did what I said I would do.
Tune in late.
Completely avoided it. And then, but the problem was, I was like, you know, when you're like, you're trying, it's like in Friends, like, I'm breezy. And every 5 minutes, I was checking the score on my phone. And it was like that, my heart would skip a beat every single time my app would reopen. It'd be like, oh, still nil.
The problem was, I know you had a notification set up on your app and stuff for goals, which is a concern when nothing's happening. But I was expecting the WhatsApp to go off even at 0-0, and the WhatsApps weren't going off at 0-0. So I was like, is no news good news? It's probably really bad news.
I thought
they're
that.
Probably 3-0 up, and that's it. No one's talking about it. So I'm like that. I put the kids to bed, read them stories and stuff, and I was like, went downstairs, like, that's a cat. Right. Let's just watch Peaky Blinders, take my mind off it, stopped a couple of times, logged into Sky Go on my mobile, watch, all right, okay, sound. Then second half, I was like, yeah, babe, see you later. This is the big telly's mine now. I'm watching the second half of this, and I basically just sat there sweating for 55 minutes. It was horrible.
I regret it. I did the same. So I put an alert on my phone, 8 o'clock bedtime for the kids. It's a bad time for the kickoff. When it's Liverpool, I can work around it. I can't really get away with it when it's Man City versus Crystal Palace. That doesn't fly, especially when there's a late game this week. So right, it's my turn, bedtime. So I put the goal alert on my phone and nothing happened. So obviously you're getting a sense, oh, it must be 0-0. Check it, half time, 0-0. I went downstairs and I thought, I really don't want to do it. And but then I got drawn into watching it, and I had to put it on then. And I spent 45 minutes just hiding like this, like hands on my face for eight. It was so intense. And just City had all of the ball, and they had the one where Bernardo Silva misses from a yard, and they have. I was convinced Laporte had scored the header.
Yeah.
When it hit that, well, as soon as you see that cross coming in, you just think it's a goal. But then at the other end,
the one where Foden knocks it in the goalkeeper. Pushes it over the bar, and you're like, oh my days, how's he managed to save that?
But then the flip side is, I thought right at the end,
Conor's got the score 2 or 3 as well.
Conor Gallagher has that chance, that's a hard one. But right at the very end, when he goes to pull it back, I thought they were going to win it.
Was it, or?
Yeah, but just in the end, it was like.
It looked, and because again, I put the last episode of the current series of Mrs. Maisel on, which was sensational, but and I love that show, but it was just about keeping me off my phone permanently. But I was getting it then via Twitter and seeing people. It was like seeing people literally sweat via in text form, and I got the impression the experience is very much like watching Adegar Johnson's miss in the semi final when it goes across the face of the goal and past those, but drawn out over 45 to 90 minutes.
And also put yourself in Carragher's shoes during that miss. Because that's the worst place you can possibly be. And having no control over anything. And because, look, City are brilliant. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. Like, and you just think to yourself, because we were talking in the office, weren't we? I was like, at least City, generally speaking, have the wherewithal to put you out your misery after 3 minutes. I didn't want to have to sit there for 95 and watch them score at the end. Didn't want to see a company goal against Leicester or anything like that. Not, that's the worst way. So for them to be able to drag it out through the 5 minutes of extra time, see Guardiola shouting at the goalkeeper who had the nerve to save shots against Manchester City of all teams, and then to stick around for Bernardo Silva chatting wham about Liverpool again, like, it just, you're in the red, we're in their head, they know about it, we get to play twice now before they play. Alright, we've got a tough game tomorrow, but we could be in the lead of this league by the next time Manchester City play.
I disagree, because it was worse than, because at least the good Johnson thing's a shot. City weren't actually having that many shots. Yeah. That was the thing. It was like, you know, someone's going to jump out and scare you. You just don't know when it's going to come. Because one of those De Bruyne pass, he's amazing. Yeah. And a couple of times those passes that he put, the one to Foden is out of this world. Yeah. And a couple of, you just think at some point they're just too good. But it never, it was only the Bernardo Silva one really where he that was the one where it's a goal. And I say the Laporte one. Over than that, it felt like getting your teeth pulled. You'd rather it just be pulled out.
The chance, though, as well, the flash by the post.
Yeah.
I mean, that was in.
It was a hard watch. But what I did notice, and even during the game, is that they lost their heads a few times. They were getting involved in fights. Grealish has lost his own. Him and Klein had a little thing. Yeah,
brilliant. And Klein's like, what are you talking about, lads?
Rodri having sure. a go. Is it Kouyaté goes down and he gets kicked by De Bruyne and Rodri's kicking off. And it just felt like, for the first time, they looked like a team under pressure. Like there was actual pressure on them and they didn't actually cope with it very well.
There's something to that, like the Nathaniel Klein thing at the end. Because inevitably, I saw that it was 0-0. It was past the time the game should have been finished, and I put it on the app on my phone, and it was 90 minutes.
Oh God, well, you extended that by 2 minutes for yourself. Genuinely, why would you do that? Go and watch it on the telly, mate.
Genuinely, yeah. Well, I can't because, well, you know why I can't. Not to do with the my Skybox definitely isn't in this room. We'll say that for that. So I turned it on. It was like, it was just gone into 90 minutes. I was like, 5 minutes injury time. What have I done? And I was like, hopefully this is done. Hopefully this is finished. And I'm just watching the bio because I'm watching the past, but hopefully I'm watching history. There was a couple of those late moments like, Jesus Christ. But the Nathaniel Klein bit of just like, I just got that moment when he's kicking off with Grealish and just like, I bet he's going, oh my God, the Liverpool fans are going to fucking love this. And I wonder whether that just gave him a little extra half inch in just to broaden himself up a little bit, being like, I'm going to make myself up fucking here. And I had real vibes of a bit of 13-14 was a bit like this, like
Barini's going against Chelsea and things like
but
that.
Like how there's real Mandalorian vibes to Liverpool, where the Mandalorian, without, I'm not going to spoil the whole thing, but effectively it's a series of him making a bunch of mates who then come back and help him at the end of the series. And I was looking at it going, there's Nathaniel Klein, and obviously we've been talking about the Gerard Coutinho thing at the end, and then you start to look at like who else Liverpool linked could start to have a little say in this story along the way. Yeah, I just thought it was wonderful.
But yeah, obviously you got Bernardo Silva's comments, which are brilliant, talking about that, and that's great because no one mentioned Liverpool to him.
That was the odd thing.
And that's when you know you're in someone's head, aren't you? And he's I don't like him anyway. I think he's a brilliant footballer, mm-hmm. but after what happened last time around and all that on the plane and all stuff, I just
he's a prick.
He's a knobhead. He's not for me, like. But then you see Guardiola starting to come out with his comments as well about the grass, and it's like, oh, the grass wasn't quite right. Oh, woe is fucking you and your £1 billion team that you've been able to put together, mate, got to play on some long grass like pretty much every team.
That was the moment for me where I feel like it's starting to turn, and not just like points wise and momentum and all that kind of stuff, but the Guardiola grass stuff, because it's not a throw-in. Klopp's talked about
wind,
dry pitches and wind and fucking all kinds. But you know when the media gloms onto something and other fans start to glom onto something, there's a future where Pep cracks, and it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. So like Rafa and the Rafa rant when we were in the title run with Man United, and look, it was Rafa laying down some cold hard facts with a little bit of conspiracy theory, but just enough conspiracy theory to make him look like a nutcase, which was what everyone else wanted to hear. Yeah. You need to have this story, and Pep is so good for that because he is the kind of guy who looks like a lunatic when things aren't going his way, and he's rubbing his face, and he's the guy that gets sent off from the touchline. And I just those little threads are being sewn here.
That's all you need to see.
It's the Bernardo one for me when he just mentions us. He just says, I'd rather be us than Liverpool still. It's like,
twice.
He's not even asked about it. He's not even asked about it. And they've got to come to our gaff. I was like, yeah, you're absolutely right. We do have to go. And technically, you would rather be where they are.
But it's to your point, though, it's telling that's clearly
on their mind.
They're not thinking about it one game at a time.
Yeah.
They're thinking about Liverpool coming to their ground and what that means for them in their title challenge, which is fair because all along it's like, just beat Liverpool and we'll probably be home and dry. But in doing that, has that meant they've taken their eyes off the ball a little bit?
Well, what I found really strange is that he never made a sub.
Yeah.
That's not really been talked about, because I've seen Guardiola make mistakes and every coach makes mistakes. Look, Guardiola pepped himself in the Champions League final last season, and he's been prone to these mistakes in high pressure games and situations. Yeah, yeah. and not being able to pull the trigger sometimes on a substitution last night is actually indecisions worse sometimes. And he, I think, is now second-guessing himself about how he makes those changes. Because they were on top, they were creating chances, but also all the chances that you've had were missed because your fellas are not ruthless enough last night. So make a change. You've got an entire squad. It seemed a bit strange to me.
It was the Foden number nine right till the end. That was the one that I was thinking... Jesus is a striker. Like he's more like
he doesn't play there for them though. Does he?
But again, even if you just put Sterling, just something, because Foden, they're all brilliant. Mahrez is brilliant. Is some of his touches last night like
say what you will ridiculous. About the squads, and everyone goes on now. Now we've got Diaz. Then Liverpool have now got a squad to compete with City, as though the one player's made the massive difference. We'd be chucking Divock Origi on in that situation,
yeah,
and he'd probably score,
yeah,
because that's the kind of you look at his bench. Sterling's on the bench, Gundogan's on the bench, Jesus is on the bench. I mean, and Fernandinho, not that you're going to bring on a DM in that situation, but to the point, he's actually got...
There's no trust goal. There, and what does that say to those three lads?
Top goal scorer from last season, Gundogan.
Yeah. I was amazed. That
Raheem Sterling consistently then their top goal scorer, thereabouts.
I was amazed. I thought he didn't gamble, so the obvious one there is if you're on top of the game so much, you take Rodri off and put Gundogan on. But I think he was genuinely scared of getting it on the break a little bit as well, so he couldn't quite do that. Yeah, Sterling or Jesus, obviously, you just do it. Even if you just freshen it up, just a bit fresh legs.
Yeah.
Just you might not be like City were dominating and they had a lot of the ball and things. But Gary Neville, I watched on Sky, I was saying Gary Neville made a great point. Like City have got great players, world class players, but we've got better goal scorers.
Yeah,
we just have. We've got lads who are more like just kicking in. Salah from nowhere, Jota from nowhere, Sadio top three of the top scorers in the league. Then Diaz has just come in. Hopefully he can get on that. Divock will just bang you one in out of nothing from somewhere. They haven't really got that. There's a big Harry Kane shaped hole in their squad,
or
in their team. They haven't quite filled yet. And they're probably going to fill it this summer with Erling Haaland. Yeah. But right now it's there. And I don't think there's a game plan per se, because listen, Patrick Vieira said the same thing. You've got a bit of luck. You need a bit of luck. You know, do you need to miss a chance or two? You know, goalie needs to make a save. Mm-hmm. But what Palace were willing to do was step out at them.
Yeah.
So Conor Gallagher was willing to press Laporte when he got the ball. Not just, and Palace were happy to try. And
it wasn't like a half-arse press. It was a full press.
Yeah, and it worked. Listen, he got nearly scores at the end of it, and like they were willing not just kick the ball back to them. Because what City just want you to volley it back to Ederson. He'll chest it down, give it to Laporte, and we'll go again. Mm-hmm. Palace were brave enough to take a touch. Zaha was trying to run it out. He got fouled a couple of times. Coyote, rather, similar again. That's the game plan. You need luck, and your goalie's going to have to play a blinder, and someone might have to have an off day. But you can't just pile it on yourself constantly. You need to be brave. And Palace, both times they played them, have been very, very brave.
You know what I think one of City's best traits is? And it's mad that it comes out of a game like that, but I've seen it time and time again. It is the willingness by City midfielders to foul them as soon as they get the ball back, mm-hmm. and stop transitions from happening before they start. Because we get to Fabinho, generally speaking, and maybe into our half before we start to make those fouls. But City do it on the edge of the area. They'll just grab him. And it's like, end of.
Yeah, Rodri's
and it's not
great,
bad enough that you can give a yellow card for. Rodri probably could have had three yellow cards from different people last night. I mean, certainly Liverpool fans. But they do it in areas of the pitch where it doesn't matter. And they just go, end of. Yeah. That's the attack done. We'll get ourselves set and we're going to get the ball and go back against you.
And I think Palace knew that because Palace were happy to get fouled because he didn't want to just kick it up the pitch. So Coyote would just go down and he'll get a foul. More often than not, it was Atkinson would give him something. Zaha the same. They were brave. You've got to be brave to play Man City. You've got to be brave to play Liverpool. You are going to be under the cosh. Your goalie's going to have to play well. You're going to hope that Salah misses one or Bernardo Silva misses from a yard. You're going to have to hope that as well, but you need to be brave. Southampton have done it to them twice. Tottenham have done it to them twice. Crystal Palace have done it to them twice. So when you say there's not a blueprint about of success, I might be wrong. There might be, because three teams have figured it out two times. So they're learning from the first one, doing it again the second time and putting it into practice again. So there is some. I think that's the only thing. And that's what going forward now is that I hope other teams go, you know what? Yeah, we don't have to just sit back and defend because we will let one in. We're going to be under the cosh. We're going to have to defend well.
I think you've
got... can we be a bit braver and get out at them at times?
You've got to have a good plan. You've got to have an organised defence and you've got to have energy and you've got to be willing to get in the face. There's a lot of things there's certain teams that can't do that against Man City.
Don't
have the pace as well. Like, I mean, you've got to have pace on the break and you've got to have lads who can do that. Palace have got that tons and tons of that. And like Tottenham had it with Kane was playing the role of the lynch man. He's holding up, he's turning it round, and all of a sudden you've got some bombing on beyond, and what's the new guy called? The I can't remember the new winger anyway they bought from Juventus. They've got those kind of things they can do. For me, going back a point, Pep Guardiola is such a good manager that you're right. I think in those situations he's it makes him indecisive because he can think of too many. He's overthinking it, and that's been the one thing about Pep is he does overthink those situations.
Jürgen would just throw Dave on.
Exactly. Liverpool have got processes. And you try that process, and if it doesn't work, then it doesn't work. But that's your tried and true. I think Guardiola is a bit too much. I'll work this out on the fly because I'm the genius. And I think you're right. I think he's gone, I could make this change. But I could easily, if I do this change, it'll mean them doing this. And if I do this, they'll do this. And I'll do this, they'll do this. And then the game's over. And he's like, oh, shit, sorry. Yeah.
What? It's over?
Yeah.
No, I will play devil's advocate to that because I do think it's different when you're the manager in the lead. You've got more to lose in that situation. You make an attacking change and you concede, that's on you. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Whereas it was probably likely to finish in a draw if Man City didn't score. Yeah. And a draw is better than a loss in that situation. Okay. And I think some of Jürgen's most conservative substitution problems have been when we were in the lead.
And a point's a good result.
So it does just change your mindset slightly. Yeah. But he's done it in big games. I said it myself earlier on.
The only thing he's done with that is that it ignores the momentum and the narrative and all the things around football, that the imperceptibles and the things that you can't really qualify. That, you know, we're gonna bring it up. It's something you brought to my attention before, Chris. You know, going back to January, so to take it to its worst point, Liverpool go into the Brentford game on the 16th of January. And we are 14 points behind Manchester City. Now, there's two games in hand, and Brentford becomes the first of those, and we win that game quite comfortably. But it's interesting, like, that's the game where Klopp comes and properly gives it the biff does in front of the crowd for a game that was quite a flat atmosphere. It was quite a solid, you know, average win. But that's where we were. And that's the thing I think Guardiola might be underestimating, that there was more value in gambling on a win there, and how much that just cuts the legs off this, like,
the swell of momentum. Yeah,
think back to that Man United game where we drew with them, and did they have a man sent off, or was it an injury caused them to make the substitutions or something a few years ago?
Yeah,
where Klopp probably should have rolled the dice. Think back to the Everton game the same season where Klopp should have rolled the dice, but he didn't. It is difficult to make those situations when you are in the lead, and you do become conservative, and it's a problem. Mm-hmm. And I don't think any manager's good at that situation. I think it's really, really tough because he makes the wrong decision.
You make that decision in October, you don't make it in March.
I
agree, but I still, even if you leave Rodri on, I think you just freshen, you just change one of the wingers. You just give Mitchell or Klein something new to think about, because they've had 80 minutes of Mahrez and they've had 80 minutes of Grealish and they're kind of all right with it. You just throw Raheem Sterling on.
What I'm trying to say, and I agree with you, by the way, is you're in Klopp's shoes and you're 14 points behind. You can't go any other way than throw Divock on. There's, you know, you can't be drawing a game. You don't draw a game and throw your goalkeeper up if you've not got something on the line last season. So that's where it comes from. And then all of a sudden, Klopp's in this. This is how I do it. This is how I catch them. He's got no choice.
Yeah.
As the choice might come if we get ahead of them.
Well, it makes sense. Everything you're saying there makes perfect sense. If you then, let's read between the lines of everything we've seen post-match. And what we're saying there was right. Bernardo Silva's talking about Liverpool and they're talking about Liverpool at the Etihad. Clearly Guardiola has decided that the title is going to be decided at the Etihad. So he just wants to get there knowing that a win gives them that comfort buffer. And you're right, in getting the draw, he's meant that Liverpool can't go top before we even get there. Because effectively, I'm right in saying if they'd lost that and we'd beat Arsenal,
we'd have better goals.
We'd have better goals. The goal difference. It'd be
exactly. And so you're right, actually, in that it does. He's clearly put all his eggs in that basket, and that's where that does make sense. And maybe that's been the mission all along. His mission is to just make sure that game is as much in their control as possible, but without compromising everything. Because if he's told his squad that's that, but then it's he rolls the dice and then they lose to Palace, and then that loses all meaning. Everything that he's been telling his squad goes completely out the
window.
Pressure,
the pressure now, we get to put it on if we can beat Arsenal, because we play before them.
We play Watford as well. Yeah.
So if we can go and beat Arsenal, beat Watford, what does he do in the situation?
Even a draw, if Arsenal could take us, again, the goal difference thing comes into, but yeah, you're right.
But then you're 3 points behind, still in the grand scheme of things.
They'll have, right? They'll get their game around, we'll take them back. But I think we're getting to a point now where we're almost at a point where a draw might be all right at the Etihad now. Because we had to go, before, we were just saying, let's get to the Etihad, 6 points behind them, we'll have to beat them. We're nearly at a point now where we might be able to draw that game and something else. Because, like, are you backing them to win every single game again now? Because
that's what I mean. I think we're focusing too much on the Etihad game. If we win our next two games, we are ahead of them.
Yeah.
And that makes their next game incredibly
Burnley
difficult.
Burnley away. But they go back to Burnley again. Yeah, so, and then they've got... Yeah, they've got relatively tough fixtures. We've got tough ones as well.
Yeah, we've got United as well, haven't we?
I do think we're getting to a point now where that Etihad game, having to go to the Etihad and having to win and win well, is we never win there. We've won. So rare. It's so rare that we've done it. We're almost at a point now where we can go and draw, and that's massive for us.
Yeah.
And then just see where we go with it. But yesterday was the first time I've heard them talk about us when they're not asked about it. So Pep said a few weeks ago, Liverpool are a pain in my arse. They're the best team I've ever managed against. And it's a respect thing, because he was asked about us, and Jürgen gave them the exact same respect. You know, yeah, I'm glad to hear that we're a pain in their arse. They're a pretty big pain in my arse too.
Yeah.
We're driving each other forwards. And it was brought up by Bernardo Silva, just off the record. So it's getting talked about somewhere. Mm-hmm. It just is.
Well, that's what you can always tell, what a manager is saying and how what he's telling his squad by what his players say.
John Henderson, one game at a time.
Just the mantras creep out. And we saw this in January, when how many players talked about getting to the international break and rest and recharge the batteries. They were all talking about this. And footballers are not super bright, all of them. Like, I mean, some of them are, but to the point is, there's a pack mentality, and there are mantras at every different point of the season. It's like when politicians get together, and then you see a bunch of political interviews, and they all use the same sort of phrases. Some of that, it's more managed in that sense, but it all feeds out of a central narrative, a central pole that they're building everything around.
Don't make the story about you. Bernardo Silva failed that last night.
Yeah, exactly. Just looking ahead, then, you know, we alluded to a few of their fixtures, but obviously Arsenal on Wednesday, which we'll talk about shortly. Burnley next for them, followed by us. They've got Wolves away, Watford at home, Leeds away, Newcastle home, West Ham away, Villa home, Brighton home.
Yep.
They've got Brighton. They've got Brighton to be confirmed. Sorry, I was like, hang on a second. Why Brighton last game of the season? Because they've not slotted that into the fixtures yet. Okay, Sam. The Villa at home is the one that we're all hoping and dreaming.
Sam Walker's convinced Wolves away they're going to drop points. He's been telling me for
Wolves,
weeks.
Wolves do well against them.
He's been telling me for weeks that Wolves away is where they drop a few as well. But yeah, there's games there.
Wolves is the one where I'd be looking at it going. And normally, I think yeah, but they're in a weird sort of sticky patch at the moment, haven't they? Haven't had their big... They've played... This is why I think the Palace thing's amazing, and why I always had a sneaky positive feeling about it, but I've tried my best to downplay it, because every other team that I thought might give them a go, they've played them at the perfect time. Like, they played Brentford when Brentford were just in that real dip where they had the initial high and everyone, no one really knew how to handle them. They got points against us, and then they come round to City and they're just empty, absolutely empty. Like, Norwich didn't normally give them a little bit of a thing, and there's been a few of those games. But yeah, again, look, every one of those teams are teams that they should absolutely walk all over, and that weirdly gives me hope, because you're getting to a point of the season there where are West Ham having one last punt at Europe? Newcastle, you know, I don't know quite how that's going. I'd rather them play Newcastle now, yeah. To be honest, while they're on some sort of, there's a chance Newcastle are just comfortably safe by that point.
Leeds and Watford, mate.
Watford have something to fight for.
Anyone that's got something to fight for down that end of the table, you never know, do you?
Yeah.
I mean, the chances are they're going to beat them both 5-0, but...
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like, the good news is we don't really need any more favours, do we?
Well, I'm all right with them scoring four goals against Manchester United and conceding one. Like, you know what I mean? Because the next game, they drew in the league 0-0. you know, that's just the way that City are. They're either going to score five against you or they're not going to score against you. There's kind of no in between with them at the moment, is there? So,
and we go back and say, like, the fact that if we win our games, we win the title. We are in a different position than we were when we were chasing them last time. We needed someone to do us a favour. Once we got past the Etihad game with the John Stones clearance off, like, was it a millimetre, whatever. After that, we were every week, Leicester might do them, or Palace might do them. We don't need that now.
Yep.
And if I'm them, that's what's worrying me, because there's no sign of Liverpool slowing down. They're desperate for us to go to Arsenal, who are in good form, and drop points, and we're going to watch that game now. Flip reverse, I'd be desperate. I'd be in the same boat. I'd be praying for an Arsenal thing. But Chris is right. If you can go and then beat Arsenal, who are the informed team in the country other than us, and put, then it just shows you, like, we're the big bollocks. Yeah,
just to tell you how much it's fucking playing on my mind, I was lying in bed last night worrying about the Champions League draw, because, you know, well, that's going to be around the City game, isn't it? And yeah, just like, so I was so happy, obviously, that they do, but I was like,
permutations in your head.
My God, what happens if it's three games back to back against them?
Could be four. Could be four.
Honestly, I've been saying this. I've just got that. That's another one of those weird feelings, like something in the air of us. We have a month of playing Man City for the whole lot.
Watching 45 minutes last night was enough. I don't need a month of City games. I can't do it. I can't.
It's on the cards, the FA Cup as well. There's a lot. There's loads there.
Absolutely.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
We've got a few super chats I'll get to shortly, but yeah, we just want to quickly talk about the Salah contract stuff. There's a little bit of an air break between the footy. Basically, we won't do too much on this because I had a hit. There's an unwelcome distraction and an unprecedentedly good season. And that's kind of what it's in danger of becoming. I don't want to go too heavy on this. Me and Chris did a Redmen Reacts at the weekend. If you want more of our thoughts, it's over on Redmen Plus now. But, Steve, I'm glad that the City thing's happened because it means we get to focus more on the footy and the games and all that kind of stuff. But just the stuff that was rearing its head over the weekend, Mo just needs to get back to the business and continue. And he hasn't. I think he's handled himself pretty impeccably throughout all of this in terms of what he's done on the field. He's continuing smiling away, he's enjoying his footy, he's still scoring goals, but the people around him and all of this, it's becoming a bit of a mess, and I am concerned that there's going to end up a division in the fan base, because you can start to see the sort of ruptures of people there's the Liverpool's bigger than any footballer is fine, but that quickly becomes fuck you, you knobhead. If you don't want to play for us, you can get a fuck, and that's a PR wise, him and his people need to be very careful about that.
Yeah, he's conducting himself well publicly. He's obviously involved in this behind the scenes. Like, you got to remember, it's his agent, not his agent, it's his lawyer, isn't it?
Right? Yeah.
And he works for Mo Salah, so if he was doing something that Mo Salah didn't like, Mo Salah can stop it very, very quickly by phoning him and saying, "Stop fucking putting laughing emojis on Twitter, you idiot."
Yeah.
So Mo's obviously okay with it. He must be aware
or he's
of it.
Fucking kicked off.
Or he hasn't, and it might not happen again. That's what you'd want, I hope. But I don't think it's a surprise that Jürgen's asked about it at the press conference, and then 5 hours later, Fabrizio Romano's got an exclusive saying what we're up to. Like, we know that you can connect the dots where that's come from.
Yeah.
So, like, and again, Salah would have to sign that off. There's no way someone, his agent goes to the press without him at least saying, yeah, go on, it's fine. You know, I don't mind playing for another Premier League club, you know, I just want a bit more money. So he's involved in it too. If it's me now, I think you have to just leave it. If you're Liverpool and say, listen, we'll have to deal with this in the summer now. There's too much going on. We've got another three cups to win. And then you see where you're at very end of the season and then you make your decision then. I don't think you can allow it to rumble on. Let the talks continue, but you can't take Mo Salah's eye off the ball. He's too important for us. And I'd like to think he's doing the same. I think Jürgen's press is almost that. Nothing's happened, but there's no agreement. We're cracking on. I think that's what it's going to have to be. I'm wearing the fucking fella's T-shirt. I love him. I hope he stays right now. But there's bigger fish to fry, because this could be Liverpool's greatest ever season. Yeah. And you can't have anything distracting from that. Let's win fucking everything and let's get the fella a new contract in the summer. But what you don't want is these stories coming out saying, Mo's leaving. Mo, like 4 weeks ago, oh, by the way, Mo Salah's off in the summer. And it comes out official. And then the mood just plummets. Like, that's what we need at all. So I think all parties now should just leave it. Listen, hopefully it gets done in the summer. If it doesn't, they're going to have to sell them. And I really, really don't want that to happen. But this season's too big now to be worrying about it, because Mo Salah could be a quadruple champion in like eight to 10 weeks' time. That's the big story here. This can't be the story.
There's a great tweet actually from Paul Tompkins. It was post-match and someone, inevitably, because this is how social media reacts to things, it's like, yeah, that was great, but now the next thing. Like, so, you know, I'm not going to celebrate this because now I want something else. I want something else. Because someone tweeted, now need to give Salah what he wants. And Paul Tompkins, who forever gets it spot on. I've never read something Paul Tompkins has done and not thought he perfectly managed to take what was churning around in my brain and put it more succinctly. But he thought, no, never just give a player what he wants. Illogical. Protect the wage structure. Keep incentives and squad harmony and hunger. You think Liverpool got to this stage by just giving players what they wanted? I never got where I am today by giving players what they wanted. But, and he goes on, and there's a great thread on this, which I'd recommend checking out. But that thing is that we're all, we like to get carried away with things. And as fans, we're like, yeah, just obviously play the best player in the world exactly what he wants. There is so much. If it was simple, Chris, it would have been done. And I don't think it's as cut and dry as because everything needs to be boiled down to 240 characters or whatever it is at this point. There's a lot more moving pieces than because he doesn't live on an island. He doesn't live unconnected to everything else that goes on around him. There's an ecosystem at Liverpool Football Club that we would probably as fans happily set fire to for another 5 years of Mo Salah being the best player on the planet. But there is plenty of warning examples around.
Mo Salah and his people have got to posture. They've got to make Liverpool aware that they want more money. And everybody does this in negotiations. I do this and you do that and you meet somewhere in the middle. We're just in the midst of that at the moment. I'm convinced that Liverpool get Salah's contract sorted. Mm-hmm. I'm convinced they do. And I'm convinced that it's not as much as Mo wanted and it's more than Liverpool wanted, yeah. Which is exactly what's going to happen. Yeah. That it's going to be somewhere in the middle and it's, we can't really, fuck it, of course we can. It's Mo Salah, we're going to give you that money and that's absolutely fine, but you need to give us a bit of time to work out what that means for everything else that we're doing.
Yeah.
We've had the accounts come out for last year fairly recently. They'll be on the table in front of Salah's lawyers. Oh, we still lost money last year, blah 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 blah. They're using what they've got out in the media. Salah's using what he's doing out in the media, the Frimarano stuff and everything else. It's going to take time. Unfortunately, there are going to be a split in the fan base because it always happens with a contract of this importance to a player as good as he is, but I'm convinced that we do get it to us.
I'm baffled that people can have such a strong opinion either way at the moment, because we don't know what he wants and we don't know what Liverpool are offering him.
So, but because there's people who put out
random numbers,
exactly. Yeah. Because and like it's like transfer news. You want information. So when you see something that is presented as information, it's the world all over, isn't it? There's a lot of fake news done around people sounding officious and saying Salah wants X. So when you hear Salah wants the same as Kevin De Bruyne is on,
fine.
Then we all logically go, yeah, absolutely fine. There's that thread of all the footballers in the Premier League are on more money than
14 more players.
Which actually all that went to tell me was there's a lot of clubs paying stupid wages and it actually made me feel more relaxed, because Liverpool are doing the right thing and Salah should probably come to see a bit of sense that I know there are footballers earning more money, but that's
They haven't freakish. Got the platform to be able to be successful like Salah has with the players around him.
To the point, you know, just as a side to side, but we've just seen Scott Hall, the wrestlers, just passed away, and there's a great thing in the wrestling business where Scott Hall and Kevin Nash move into WCW on ridiculous contracts and then getting increasingly ridiculous contracts. It's all part and parcel that leads to the downfall of WCW because you're getting people contracted for more money for the same or less work can foster a negative atmosphere in your whole company and amongst the people being paid that. And I look at those other players being paid ridiculous wages at those clubs and go, they're outliers for me.
Yeah.
You know, you should, if you want to play for a football club and you want to be successful as an individual footballer, there's only so many football clubs who are going to deliver that success in the first place.
Can I just give a bit of a viewpoint that probably most people won't have thought about, right? Liverpool, I think, over the last four or five years, have increased their wage budget time and time
massively.
Again. Massively, right? What I don't think people have realised is actually we've increased the amount of players that we're paying good money to.
Mm-hmm.
So 4 years ago, we had 13 players that were probably on good money, maybe nine. I don't know. Now we're actually at the point where we've got 25 lads who will all be on good wages. And it's actually those extra 10 players earning good money that has meant that we're in, sat here going for four competitions at the end of the season. And had we done, let's say, had we turned Salah up to 500 grand a week 2 years ago, you might not get those 10 players through the door that get you in a position to have that success.
And moreover, it's the contract renegotiations for a bunch of lads who aren't your best players, but they contribute to having a squad. So it's making you it's putting Dejan Lovren on 100 grand a week because and having your fourth choice centre half be on 100 grand a week because he's integrated, he knows it, he's part of the squad harmony and all those kind of things. As opposed to putting all of your money into one or two stars. And then, because again, Barcelona, just look at Barcelona. They're for me, that's exactly what happens to Liverpool if we're not careful. Because to the point, like, if they'd managed to sort Messi out, it would have been Messi and no one else you'd ever heard of. And as it is, they got rid of Messi and it's a bunch of second tier footballers now playing at that football club across the board because that's the best they've been able to do as a result. Man United are making it hard because they're clinging on for dear life in this world, and PSG and Man City are fucking ruining it for everyone else because they don't give a shit and they'll just find a new sponsorship from somewhere else within their company structure. No, honestly, like, you know, it's
the flip side is, right, I don't think you ask Mo Salah to take a discount at Liverpool. I think you just pay him does a worth what he's worth. Like, I saw that list. So Ronaldo's on half a million.
Yeah, like
a
fucking
490 or something. 495. Like, that should be the outlier. But if he's come saying, you know what, I want to be paid the same as Kevin De Bruyne and all the other top players in the league, I think that's fair for him to ask for that. It's relative. Listen, I understand it's relative. Mo Salah could live on 100 grand a week and be absolutely fine for his life. Yeah. But there's a way this works. I think
the problem with, sorry, Steve, is that though, and this is where Liverpool have to be careful, and also there's a degree to which the longer you leave this, the less it's costing you because you don't want to pay him an extra 3 months of double wages for the sake of it. But there's two things. You need to make sure that you can afford to keep your top stars down the line, the next in line, and know that they're not going to have their heads turned elsewhere. But equally, if you open that door, you can't put that back in.
No.
So you pay Salah twice as much money as Virgil van Dijk, say.
He's probably got a joint highest wage earner clause.
I don't think he has, but he might do. But, you know, but to the point, what are you doing to Trent? Down, you know, Trent's not far behind in terms of being as equally important for Liverpool and all these things. And then all of a sudden you're in a world where you've got four or five players who are all on 400 grand a week.
But we've just done that. It's relative with the numbers, but Liverpool have just done that. That's exactly what they've done. They don't have to go there, but then you cannot have the best players at you can't have the best player in the world playing for you if you're not going to pay them the
exactly,
best player.
So exactly.
There's a balance, that's
exactly
the thing.
But that's what I mean, that's the decision point.
And it's hard.
And they need to decide whether it's worth having a burn for a few years of staying on top, but what does that look like in 3 or 4 years' time when your wage bill has quadrupled in that time and you've got a bunch of these biggest players? How do you refresh that? And is that self-sustainable?
I tell you what, there'll be a lot of people in the commercial side of the business hoping that they get the deal done for Salah.
because your commercial side of the business will be much better for having Mo Salah in your side.
Yep.
Hand in hand. This is the thing. It's all interlinked. It's why it's so complicated, because you lose Salah and all of a sudden you might not be able to charge as much for your arm sponsorship, because he's just so big and so well known all around the world, and you might not have an official partner for water in fucking Egypt or whatever, because this is what Salah is able to do for you.
And you know what, he is the lovable fella on the pitch, like most out of the businessman. I've heard little stories of him, can speak about, like, the issue we have with Egypt and the FA, we ain't going to play for them because the image rights thing, and the other one to play and stuff. Like, Mo Salah and his people know Mo Salah's worth.
Yeah.
They are not idiots. Yeah. So it is nuanced, and that's the thing. My stance is, I want Mo Salah to be a Liverpool player, but I don't know what he's asking for. So if he's asking for $700,000 a week. I mean, that's just a figure. He's probably not, but then you go, fine, fuck off. If he's asking for $200,000 a week, if Liverpool are offering $200,000 a week, then you go to Liverpool, you're playing games there. Until you know the numbers, it's hard to have a big opinion, but I'm with Chris, I think it gets done, because there are actually not that many other places he can go anyway.
Yeah.
It's Paris is the one, because they're going to lose Mbappe and they need someone. But then, if he wants to go to, we're never going to be able to match what Paris pay.
Exactly.
So it's irrelevant then. So then it's a money thing.
That's the dangerous game. And that's what PSG, Chelsea started this. PSG have taken it on. Man City have taken it on. And Man City, I mean, the mask slipped by paying 100 million for Grealish, but they've been sneakily doing this with wages. And Man United and Barcelona have been trying to keep up with the Joneses and look at the state of both of those football clubs. That's my big concern on that, is that and this is why, you know, you'd smart, level-headed business people looking after these things, and not fans who just want to chase the next high. No, I just want to see Liverpool win. I just want the best player to play at Liverpool. Which, why shouldn't I? We're Liverpool fans. Yeah. Of course we want to.
It's about being successful in 10 years' time and 15 years' time and 20 years' time. That's what the custodians of our club have got to think about at the moment.
Yeah. My general consensus would be high-wage, short-term contract might get this boxed off. So you might just have him for 3 years, but on big, and then at that 3 year time, he's still Mo Salah and he's still 32. And then if he wants to go and play for someone else and get even more dough sound, Liverpool haven't boxed themselves into a corner there. Uh-huh. That's how I think it's going to play out, if I'm honest.
And this is just on these other things. There's a bunch of these other things that Liverpool are planning, and there's spreadsheets on spreadsheets, and there's probably a Tony Stark style AI touchscreen somewhere with all these potential myriad possibilities. Because we've not even talked about Mane, we've not talked about Firmino, and there's like the what happens if, you know, there's the five unthinkable options, and what does that all trigger? You know, there's a flow chart. Have you signed Salah down to a new contract? Is it over X? What does that leave you left in the budget when you can only afford to sign up this, and this? It's really interesting what it means for the rest of Liverpool's squad as much as just Mohamed Salah.
Can I ask a question? Do you trust Liverpool if they were to sell Salah for 150 to 200 million in the summer to invest it wisely and us to come out better?
100%.
Not better, but I think he'd get a good player who could become the next Mo Salah, but he won't be the most, because you can't buy the best
just
player.
Just an interesting sort
I think
of point, isn't it?
I would trust
I think I do too.
I would trust the transfer. I trust him to have the targets who are right. It won't be Mo Salah, and he won't be as good as Mo Salah, but Liverpool will be sound.
The only thing that it opens up to, and we've never really seen Liverpool do this, is... we sort of have, is that it might be the first time Liverpool go out and just buy someone fucking amazing. You know, and again, these are all these
whose
other things.
Whose name you know?
Well, no, exactly. But it's
whose
like,
name everyone
genuinely,
whose name my mum knows.
Genuinely, what is Mbappe thinking? Like, you know what I mean? And I don't think Liverpool will sign Kylian Mbappe, by the way. But, you know, there's that point where you've got that kind of dough and you can just go and get one of the next best players in the world, as opposed to let's go and get another Jota or let's go and get another Diaz. I mean, look, the point is, which would probably make everyone's heads fall off, we just might not buy anyone. Or that money might go somewhere else. No, but because Liverpool own, you know, if you tied Firmino down and Mane down and you've got Jota and Diaz, they probably argue that you've still got 3 to 4...
Might go and spend it on the midfield.
Exactly,
yeah, exactly.
But look for another day, we'll have to see how this carries on. But too much. Just quickly, Klopp's press conference is live as we're doing this. Paul Gorst has put a quote out there on the Salah I'll cop on Salah's agent. So Klopp was reacting to him, but I'm not on Twitter. Another good reason for that. You got me in the trap that I created headlines. All fine. I don't know about any kind of reaction, but I'm not concerned. It is how it should be. The decisive parties are in contact. And to the point on this,
Fall into the trap, by the way.
He did. And this is exactly what we said on Redman Reacts. Okay, and again, please go and check that chart on Plus, because extra stuff to what we've discussed here. But 95% of what Klopp says is exactly the same as what he said whenever he's been asked about it. It's like, it's all fine, the people are negotiating, people happen. But he said the club have done all they can do. And I don't know if he truly meant that, or that was a slip of the tongue or whatever. But the point is, he said too much, or he misspoke. And that's what's created the headlines, because there was nothing headline making in what he then followed up with. He just said, no, it's cool, everything's fine, don't worry about it. But you read things in text, and then all the things that follow, and then the agents, and then Fabrizio Romano down the line. It's just created a bit more of a shit show than it needed to be.
And that's why managers don't tell us anything.
Yeah.
That's why press conferences can be, the good for injury news and the good for team news and stuff like that. But in terms of like long term, like, why don't tell you nothing? Mm-hmm. Because this is what happens, it gets spun, it becomes a bigger issue, and Jürgen fell into the trap. Fair play to whoever asked them the question in terms of doing their job. They've done exactly what they wanted to do. They got a headline, they got newspaper sales, they got clicks, whatever they got, they needed it. And it's fair play, that's their job in that business.
Yep.
He did. From now, he's going to be very, very guarded when asked about it. And that's what he's episode one there was.
The fire hose there.
The relative people are talking. Crack on with it.
Next question, please.
Right, we've got a bunch of super chats, then we're going to have a very short break. Well, I say break, we've got a little bit from Robbie from Arsenal Fan TV ahead of the Arsenal game, and then we'll be back chatting about that game. That Riri guy says, don't know what got rattled more, the Palace post or my wife after the final whistle up the Reds. Very excited man there. Hopefully she enjoyed herself. Yeah. my right hand and couch cushion. Rob Lewandowski, win on Wednesday. I think a draw at City will do. Trig Josh back again. Chris, looking at the seating arrangement, your thumb has grown immensely since it made its camera debut. Top draw ventriloquism too. Yeah, check out the Start 11 prediction show. It was the player ratings show after the last game.
I'm so sorry.
Steve's been getting mad.
He's already. He was telling us on Sunday he's already planning his revenge.
Jack Richardson, the City result was a nice, early, nerve-wracking birthday present. I'm 29 today, so hoping for a nice 3-0 win tomorrow.
Happy birthday,
Jack. Rutu and Tukars dropped in 99 cents. Thank you so much. And Mac Maynes gave us 179. Thank you, Mac. Trick Josh again. Is Salah's shot goal ratio as good as these players that are on more than he is, though? For me, misses cost us too many goals because of greed. Yeah, I know, Josh. And people do this, but also nobody scored more goals than Mo Salah, so...
He's the best player on the planet,
yeah. Gareth Baird, I'm positive about the Salah deal. We have until the end of next season to get it done.
No, we haven't. That's the interesting point. This will be another show. If they can't get it done this summer, what will they do?
Yeah.
It's the genie situation again,
yeah.
But that's for another show.
Yeah, it is for another show for another time.
Put it this way, if he's not signed the contract and we're in the FA Cup against Nottingham Forest next season at this stage, he's playing every minute of every game.
We're genie in the shit out of him. Running him into the ground, no doubt whatsoever.
Be the rest of you, Mo. Ta-da, jog on, lads.
Yeah.
Under 23s, you know, get in there.
He can pay for his own shirt.
By the way, you're walking towards Offord for today's game, Mo.
Yeah, definitely. Right. Yeah, sound. We have got a couple of things to follow. We're going to be talking about the Arsenal game and talking about Steve's tag to follow. But yes, before then, we've got a wonderful piece of content coming up on Redmen Plus. And I also spoke to Robbie from Arsenal Fan TV to get his preview ahead of the game. Here's a little look at them. Hey everyone, Mate here. If you're enjoying this podcast, then do go and check out Redmen Plus, our Liverpool streaming service, giving you tons of extra podcasts each and every month. There's Journo Insight, there's the Around the League show, the Debate show, the Opposition preview, and interviews with Liverpool legends past and present as well. Tons of content to keep you occupied, keep you busy, thrilled, entertained, and go deeper on Liverpool FC culture. Head to theredmentv.com. Sign up and join us on Redmen Plus. Rob, if you don't mind, just tell me about the whole Aubameyang thing, because I mean, this is a guy, he's currently still the third top goal scorer for Arsenal this season. On the outside looking in, looks a hell of a player. He's obviously started bagging for Barca now. why is he not an Arsenal player anymore? And now that he's not, how do you think that's sort of affecting how Arsenal are this season?
Well, it hasn't affected us. It's actually, you have to say, we've improved since he's gone. Which is a weird thing to say, because I've got nothing but love for Aubameyang. In the time that he was here, he was brilliant for us. He carried us for a couple of seasons. Something obviously went wrong between him and the manager. And I think it's worked out brilliantly for both sides now, because he's gone and we're playing better. We look more cohesive. And, you know, there's no noise about Aubameyang and what's going on behind the scene. And he's gone over to Barcelona and he's been brilliant. I think he's scored 5 goals already. He scored again at the weekend. You know, he's on fire there. He's moved to Barcelona, obviously a huge club. So what happens, the full details has not come out. Both of them, him and Arteta, have been quite respectful to each other and said, listen, kind of it is what it is kind of thing. And I think the fans still respect Aubameyang, but he's moved on. And we're doing, I just think that the team now is more cohesive and we're not sort of suffering from that whole noise around the fact that, you know, why is our best player not playing? I think it's a good job that we're playing well, because had he been playing badly and then he'd gone over to Barcelona and he's banging in the goals, he's scoring so many goals week in, week out, Mikel Arteta would have been under a lot of pressure and a lot of scrutiny as to why you let, you know, a guy who always scores goals go. But he didn't have a good season last year. There was definitely something up this season. We don't know what it is. Good luck to him. But listen, it hasn't affected us in any way. We're playing better without him. That's the truth.
Hey, welcome back. Yeah, you can check out the Crew documentary. It's coming international week. And Robbie is Oppo Preview with myself is streaming right now on Redmen Plus. Really good stuff. And obviously the Aubameyang stuff. I was just quite interested to get his take on just where Arsenal are at and where they've come in. A lot of this sort of strategising that's gone on at that club to turn them around, because, yeah, it feels very much like, we mentioned clubs that are in a mess, and we talked a couple of weeks ago about like how West Ham have just capitalised on being quite stable. But if Arsenal and Man United ever get their act together, then West Ham will have no chance, and it just looks like Arsenal have kind of done that. So yeah, good chat on that. Just some breaking news comments as well. We're doing the podcast from Klopp's press conference, which will be available on our YouTube channel and on podcasting services shortly after we finish live here. The latest is Konate is available, Milner and Kostas are out, and Mo Salah, according to the Liverpool website, and Klopp saying this, asking if he'd be available. Klopp said, looks like Mo's a tough cookie and he was only a little bit cut. We were quite lucky with it. It was swollen, painful. Yesterday, a little less swollen, less painful. Now I get the message before the press conference that Mo is ready to train, and we will see how that looks. So yeah, potentially Mo Salah available.
Yeah. Absolutely huge. Even if you can only get him on the bench, it's just so. It, again, aforementioned conversation, best player on the planet. Nice to have him. Great, and great. That's not serious, because it looked like it could have been. When Mo misses training, you always think, because he's never injured. So thankfully, it was just an impact thing. Yeah, that's a game changer. I didn't put him in the starting 11 prediction, obviously, because I thought he might have been out. He just slots straight back in, and you go.
If it's just a cut, that's
sound. Yeah. I'm actually more interested in Kostas and Milner, because if they're not okay for Sunday, that is impactful.
Mm-hmm. I've got, yeah,
they're both starting Sunday in my head.
Yeah.
I put Gomez on the bench for this game because he's effectively your left back and right back cover now. Yeah. But yeah, what it means is that your team against Forest, you'd either go really young or strong, and I tend to think he would go strong rather than young. I think it might just mean that Robbo and Trent go again. Yeah. Both of them, or one of them, and Gomez plays.
I was saying this yesterday up in the office. It's like that's the game that they've got off now between now and the end of the season. Yeah. There ain't any more, so you kind of need them. So it's so unfortunate, isn't it, that your left back and your right back, the two places that we really need to go again.
It depends whether Gareth Southgate's still a moron and doesn't like Trent.
That's the thing. You get on the blower and say, listen, are you going to start Trent in the first one? Can you do us a favour and not start Trent in the first one?
Fingers crossed, they're both ill at the moment, so there's a chance. We don't quite know the full ins and outs of that, if it's COVID or whatever, but fingers crossed.
5 days anyway now, is it? So there's a chance anyway.
But they've still got a train and stuff. You don't know, depends how sick they are, doesn't it? But yeah, I think it impacts the Forest game a lot.
I think it's,
they were both starting that game 100%.
It's one of those situations where I think you can get away with Conor Bradley but I don't think you get away with Owen Beck and Conor Bradley. So you maybe ask one of them to go again, or you do something else. So you maybe put Beck, but you play Gomez at right back, and then you're asking one of Van Dijk or Matip to go again at centre half or something mad. But who knows? You know, Jürgen Klopp is going to.
Milner's a big miss Barry for this week. Because if Liverpool, if you think it's going to be a close game against Arsenal, he likes having Milner on the pitch to end close games.
Yeah, it is going to be a tough last six without him.
He loves that. Like, come on, slow the game down, boot a few people. Yeah. I think it's significant. Kostas wouldn't play anyway. He's there. Obviously, that becomes an issue if Robertson happens to Robertson, but. I think Klopp will be gutted that maybe he hasn't got Milner for that one. I think Milner's like his comfort blanket.
Yeah.
Just, I've got 5 minutes. I need to waste half a minute, and then I need someone to just foul people for 5 minutes and kill this game off.
You might find that this is one of them where Gomez comes on for the last five or something at right back in this.
Chamberlain's now your.
No, it's not to bring. You're not bringing Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain to show.
We used to bring Matip on a lot, didn't we? As the fifth centre back, or as the third centre back. Like, so I can see Gomez doing that.
I think if he wants to, if you're looking at your bench, he's your experienced midfield pro, isn't he? Again, it depends who he starts. My guess is Thiago starts. And he's not going to last the game. So if you bring Naby on, then with five to go, you're looking at Hendo and Fab. You go, you can't really take those two off. I think it does. Jay, I think it's significant. I think the Milner 5 minute sub is something Klopp loves to have,
definitely.
And he just hasn't got it.
Absolutely. Well, fingers crossed that it works out for the best for the mighty Reds. We'll know more a little bit later on in the week. And as mentioned, if you want to check out that Klopp press conference, that'll be available on our YouTube channel. And if you get us on Spotify or iTunes or any other slightly mispronounced
iHeartRadio app.
Yeah, whatever that is.
Have you ever looked at that? You must get it on all the NFL podcasts. It's like Spotify, Apple, and the iHeartRadio app.
Yeah.
Don't know if it's a thing. We're probably not on there.
Probably. But yeah,
we'll just give them a free plug anyway. Nice one, lads.
All of our Redmen Plus content is available in podcast form in your native podcast.
Yeah, not available on the iHeartRadio app.
maybe not. Who knows? Let us know. Right, sounds.
Like, what is this iHeartRadio? You have heard it, haven't you? It's not just
it's an American.
I've just heard it five times in the last 30 seconds. Sounds great. Right, so we promised any other business.
We're out of time. We need to shoot.
We haven't even talked about the Arsenal game.
Just then.
That was it.
Well,
I was talking about the iHeartRadio app.
Yeah.
My stag, do I?
Yeah. So, it was Steve Stag at the weekend. We all survived.
Roll the pictures, Si. With the lovely montage music, please.
The game plan to give feed Steve shots. What was the end game, Chris? Because you started this.
It's pretty much exactly what happened, actually.
Yeah. Steve, it turns out, is a very good drunk. You would not know
until
Steve.
He's not.
Until, exactly. It was like you're a very good boxer until you'd been knocked out. He rolled with the punches spectacularly. You'd have never known. I said, if you dropped in halfway through, which realistically was only about midday.
you dropped in midway through the drinking session, half 11.
You would never have known how much Steve consumed by that point. He holds it together really well. But there was a...
Obviously, drink responsibly, unless it's your stag do, in which case do what you need to do,
yeah. Yeah. And Steve went from being upright and happy and jolly to I need a seat, to posing for pictures, sat down, to being asleep on the chair, to being sick on the floor, to being on the floor, to being carried to a bin, and then carried to the coach eventually.
And a paramedic coming to check on me.
Yeah. Several.
And what did your dad have to sign?
I thought like a non-treatment clause, basically say he's fine, don't leave him alone. And to be fair, he was right. I'm absolutely fine.
I'm pretty certain someone turned up with a defibrillator on the back.
Yes,
she
did. Yeah,
point.
That did happen. Basically, I think what I need to do next time is pretend to be drunker than I am, because I think everyone took it as a challenge to get Steve drunk, but unfortunately, what that challenge became was let's alcohol poison Steve. So it was he's fine. Oh, he's unconscious.
That's how the day went. Yeah. And you can pretty much go by hour. He's fine. He's unconscious. Hour four.
It started at 9:30
yeah.
in the pub for breakfast and beers. We drove the coast of Wales with alcohol on it, obviously. Stop at a pub, that's where the shot started. Thanks for that, Chris, you started that trend. And then every time I got a drink, it was a different shot.
You had six, I reckon, Jaegers in about 15 minutes in the pub.
Yes, which is fine, I can do
that. And that was the point, is that
you were going to say I can do that all day long?
Jaegers, yeah.
I beg to differ.
Okay.
I reckon you can do that for about 2.5
hours. Oh, listen, I will, again, my blood will become alcohol. I will collapse. But then it was later on when, like, people just, have that, and it was like Jack Daniel, have that, and it was a shot of Bailey's. Someone got me the shot of Bailey's. Errol poured, was it you? Yeah. Errol, I think, poured vodka in my beer and didn't tell me until I drank it. I think that happened.
No, someone did that in front of your face. And then you said, if I down this, will everyone stop buying me shots?
And did anyone agree to that?
Yes. And then Chris come and got your Baileys and poured it in your face while you were
was happening? My thought process was, because I don't know if I remembered you buying a Baileys, but I was thinking, I'm going to curdle his stomach. This is how I get him. Right?
Because,
oh, yeah, it did. When I came back, there was this scene in front of me and you were there.
It was the dentist chair style. You're on 96.
And I was like, oh, I've got an opportunity here. His mouth's open and he's got in. So I just pulled into your mouth at the same time.
Thank God for that.
And then it frothed everywhere. And then it was about 5 minutes later when you went unconscious.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. But I had a good day. And if anyone who watched the show yesterday, I think I held it together.
If you want to see a man on the edge, do watch the Starting 11 prediction show for us. I was tired. Did that then. Very, very well.
But yeah, that was a. I say the stag do up till I remember, which was about tea time. I remember getting home and getting carried up the stairs by my missus, and the kids were still awake in the living room. That's how bad it was, because I went to just, my instinct was to go and walk into the living room and jump on the couch and sleep because I don't want to disturb the kids. And it was like, oh no, stay, it's like 7:40. Okay, straight to bed then. But then I had an amazing sleep because I'd been asleep from like 5 o'clock and I slept till like 6 o'clock. That's the most I've slept in like ever. Yeah. What kids? That never happens.
Yeah, you were quite quietly, sprightly.
I was fine. I woke up at 4 for like a piss and like a bit of water and I was like, why aren't I hungover? This is amazing. Got myself back to sleep very contently. Woke up normal time. I was like, I'm fine. This is amazing. I was, this is brilliant. So I think you knocked me unconscious, done me a favour in the end. But it was, yeah, drink responsibly.
Well, you just got away. I was a bit annoyed, really, because...
Please drink responsibly.
Please do.
I didn't get dressed up in.
Because so it was banned,
and at that point,
yeah.
And I was like, it's about 11:30. I'm like, well, this has got to change. He's having it far too smooth here, hence the shots.
I like how my dad said, right, guys, do us a favour, stop buying Steve shots. And then 4 seconds later, my future father-in-law came with a shot. It was like a dad off. It was like a dad bit, and the shot went.
Well, because it was the people who love you and the people who've really got an issue with you kind of borne out. There was two camps on the day. So you had like, Chris is throwing shots in you while you're lying back, and then Tom's the one but is rubbing your back and wiping sick off you. So there was a real division, and all your mates who've been so pissed off that you don't get cataclysmically drunk or trying to ruin you. And then you've got your father-in-law who clearly is really annoyed that you're taking his daughter, and then you've got your dad on opposing sides. It was a bit like Civil War, Captain America, and you were in the middle, and it was half
Steve
of those ones.
Seen that is far too long.
Can we reverse back to the starting point there? My boss was the one trying to get me drunk, and the guy who I look after, Tom, what's that called, employee?
Yeah.
Was the one trying to help me. You'd think that would be the other way around.
But between me and Chris, who just loves people being in a state, and me, I don't. So there was just a straight to this, is if you enjoy watching people get cataclysmically drunk, or if you don't. And the people who didn't were like a bit.
The people who did
one. Oh, yeah. By an absolute mile. Right, Sad. Just last thing before we go, Chris, you got a stat show today.
I do have a stat show today, 2 o'clock, looking back at the Brighton game. We're not doing that live, that'll be up later on the show and stuff. It was interesting, actually, what I did slightly differently this time is I took what our average 11 positions were against Brighton, and I actually compared that to our average 11 positions for the season so far, which is something I've never really done before. And actually, I found a few little things there that I think Liverpool had changed just to come up against Brighton, which I think is quite interesting.
Interesting stuff. Yeah, check that out. The stature with Chris Pajak on Redmen Plus. We had one more super chat before we go. Ad 2020 says, get the quadruple, Mbappe will be here for 200k a week. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm sure. We all live in hope, don't we? Right, Sam, that is the podcast for this week. Thank you so much for joining us. If you're live, you're amazing. If you listen after the fact, you're amazing as well. But you can check us out live Tuesday mornings on YouTube at 10:30 a.m. And yeah, if you want more from us, do come over. Consider joining up to our Liverpool subscreaming service, streaming service. Subscription service. And yeah, don't forget to download the Who Knows Wins app as well. Oh, Scott Hawks, blimey, from out of nowhere.
Late super chat.
With a throwing a haymaker in of a super chat. $50, yeah, Scott, thanks. Jesus. Glad to see Steve survive the celebratory poisoning. Hopefully we'll all be in a state at the end of this season. Yes, yes, very much indeed.
Appreciate you, Scott.
Yeah, you guys are wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast this week, and we'll see you all soon. Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.